back. WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively into a combine week around here if you're a football fan, and lockout week if you're a baseball fan. No wonder we love football, Dennis Colazos, right? No wonder we respond to football, because they're actually going to play, and they're actually going to pick players, and they're even going to tamper this week in Indianapolis, and they're going to call it tampering. How about that?
Well, thank goodness we're on the WNST text service, sponsored by Coons Ford of Baltimore, where we get all the latest and greatest news. And you're right, it's going to be a lot of moving parts for us to keep an eye on us.
All right. Well, for you with the Ravens, because I talked on your show at length about Lamar and the contract, and people can go out, check it out on YouTube, or check it out at Baltimore Positive as well. And of course, Dennis is here on Thursday from 3 until 5. I do the show. Luke does the show. I'm a little bit more chatty on your show than I even am on my own show. I talked about Lamar and the contract and it creating space for Eric to do other things. That's not going to happen. I mean, I don't expect in the next week or two, Lamar is going to say yes to an $82 million bonus and a $38 million cap number or whatever it's going to be. I don't expect that. So therefore they're going to manage as they manage. In your mind, if you're made general manager tomorrow and you're out at the combine, what are you concerned about with them? I mean, other than everything, other than a 6-game losing streak and 12 injured guys and all of that, I would say knowing his injury report and who he thinks is going to play in August and September is probably, he got stung last year by believing guys were going to play and they didn't play.
Yeah. You know, that's a lot to unpack right then and there, Nestor. But if I'm the general manager, first and foremost, the Lamar contract, they have a lot of time to get it done. I think a lot of people are pushing the panic button. Why don't they have a deal in place yet? They can have a deal done before the NFL season kicks off in September. So they have a lot of time to get that under wraps. They'll need some money anyway as they head into the season for injuries. So they're not going to spend their entire amount of cap money. They'll leave some space for that. And if Lamar extends before then, so much the better. They'll have even more money to play with. But until then, if Eric DaCosta, I'm looking for available players that don't have a history of injury. I'm looking for players first round that have all pro potential. Second day picks have the pro bowl potential as a floor. And then I'm supplementing the team. I mean, as you mentioned, they have holes everywhere, offensive line, defensive line, all three levels of the defense, to be frank with you. And, they can use another tight end. So with their philosophy of best player available, though, Ness, they can pick anyone at any given point in time. That's for sure.
Well, Joe Ortiz interviewed with the Giants and then the Steelers. Looked like Steelers interviewed everybody. I would say this for pro personnel and for the college game and for what George Koukinis has done for all these years, they're really good at this, right? And they miss sometimes. Sometimes they identify that Earl Thomas is the answer for them and he's not. Sometimes they identify that Tony Jefferson or even Derek Wolf. These are guys that can help us. We need those kinds of players. Last year was kind of Zeitler. They were in love with Zeitler, right? And they got Villanueva, and they thought that they had sort of taken this veteran, not Marshall Yanda, but like we need to tighten that up. Feels to me like Bozeman's not coming back. Feels like he's going to get a lot of money from somewhere. It's not going to be them. He's going to be this year's Jensen, Rick Wagner. We can go through the list. Kelechi Asemele. They've made a living on giving these offensive linemen away at a price. And the money they spent on Stanley, I would say they better figure out left tackle. They better figure out whether Ronnie Stanley's really going to play or ever going to play again or ever going to play the way he did. I know after these injuries, your buddy Jimmy Smith was never really the same after Lee's Frank. I don't know where Stanley is or where Nick Boyle is. These guys that they believed in 2, 3, 4 years ago, because clock's ticking on all these guys. But they knowing their own health and having something that is an is as opposed to a might be, to me, they identify the free agency market as well as anybody to say, we can acquire that guy. We know what it's going to cost to acquire that guy. We have to have that guy, even if they're wrong on Earl Thomas. But they they have strong convictions about these things. And I would say that's what these meetings are about. That's what the month of February was about for them. While I was off running around in LA doing the Super Bowl and having fun with the Bengals and the Rams, they were trying to figure out who are the two or three guys we can afford that are going to hit the market. And then they keep showing this big tackle beating everybody up out on Ravens.com, right? That they're going to draft a tackle at some point or draft an offensive lineman with 14. But I think they figure out the free agency market and the pro personnel side, certainly as well as anybody, to identify who that Calais Campbell, who that Wolf, who that Zeitler. That's the first thing I'm always interested in. Who's the veteran guy that they covet?
Well, historically, that's what they've done as an organization. They filled their needs via free agency. So that way, when they enter the draft, they can truly take the best player available versus having to take a player at the position of need, right, versus the BPA. So I think they'll spend a lot of time, to your point, identify who this year's Kevin Zeitler is. The problem, though, is they just don't have enough cap money to make many moves now. So I don't know how many more veterans are going to come to Baltimore at a discount in the hopes that the Ravens can get them a Super Bowl. And that includes Calais Campbell, who to me is a priority free agent. Don't know what the market for him is going to be, but never mind his last sacks. When you look at his tape, I mean, he is a game wrecker. He is a person that occupies at least two people on the offensive line. And to me, they would be well served to start with signing Campbell before they've figured out to see who they can get. There's some free agent tackles out there. Do they draft a serviceable left tackle in case Stanley didn't come back? In the NFL draft, do they draft a left tackle at 14? And he plays guard, just like Jonathan Ogden did. I believe Tony Jones was their starting left tackle when the Ravens drafted Ogden. And so he had a great year as a rookie at guard, and then he shifted left guard. He shifted to left tackle his sophomore season in the NFL. So,
they know they need contingencies on Stanley, right? Like, first thing first.
He's a smart guy. He's a very smart young man, Notre Dame. And we just saw Ali Marpert from the Buccaneers, 28 years old. He just retired. He had enough. 7 seasons of wear and tear. He has enough money. He's leaving $10, $12 million on the table, I believe, this year. But guess what? It's not enough to compensate for his health. So we're starting to see, we've been seeing a trend of getting out sooner rather than later.
By the way, I saw Eugene Monroe. He's in the cannabis business doing his thing. He moved on. I mean, we go back to Elvis Gerback moving on. This is the time of the year where these players say, I've had enough. I got hit in the head too much. I don't want to have headaches. I don't want to be sick. Talk about John Urschel. We talked about him on your show last week, right?
We did. Yeah, they're smart. So, and Ronnie, he's never been a workout warrior. That was a concern when the Ravens drafted him. He's always had great feet. He's always been a dancing bear, but he's never been the kind of guy you find in a weight room. And so he's, on his Twitter account, he's the guru. He's cerebral. He likes social things and community things. And it wouldn't be shocking. At this point, I would say it's 50-50 whether he ever plays another down in the NFL.
Wow. Okay. I mean, he loves dogs. I know he loves animals.
He loves dogs. He loves social media, and he's got a degree from Notre Dame, and he has a lot of money, so he doesn't have to play. The question is, does he want to play? Is the fire there for him? Does he want to be a professional football player? Does he want to play for Boston Canton? Does he want to play for a Super Bowl? Those are things that they should have asked him before they drafted him and done their due diligence, because if I'm drafting a player, I want somebody who wants to be a Hall of Fame player and willing to pay the price to do so, not just to punch the clock and it's a job because he's athletically gifted.
Dennis Colazzos is my guest. He does his own thing here on Thursday from 3 until 5. Make sure you check out the Dennis Colazzos Show. You can also find him out on Twitter at DColazzos Show, and the rebroadcast on Sunday morning as we get ready for this. Anything on the baseball thing you want to say? I mean, we've had a war this week over in Europe. I mean, it's been...
I'd like to speak about the war, though. I would like to speak about the war. You've got guys like the Klitschko brothers, right? One is a mayor of Kyiv, and the other one is an infantry. And Vasily Lomachenko, the boxer, probably the 5th or 6th pound-for-pound best boxer in the world, he's in the infantry. And this is fascinating, these men... especially Lomachenko, who's still fighting, he's active, past and present, taking up arms to defend their homeland. I think it's fascinating. I think it's fantastic. Not that it has a sports twist to it, but I do think these times remind us that there are things greater in the world than sports.
Yeah. And you would think that people that get together that count beans and have a lot of beans would be happy with the beans they have. That doesn't feel to be the baseball thing, right? I mean, the baseball thing feels, I mean, come on, man, you're of my age. You remember every minute at the dealership you were at in 1994, 95, when they're canceling the World Series and Peter's standing up and against his own partners and he's Mr. Union and you know, Cal Ripken, the streak, and they lost the World Series. Everybody was up in arms. Man, they don't have anybody's emotion like that. I don't know anybody in my world that cares whether they play or not. That is a really, really... You and I have been slogging them as long as we've known each other, because the thing has gone into its own, had its own problems, the sport, the team, the franchise, the city, downtown, on and on and on and on and on. This is a whole different level of what they're doing to themselves at this point, that it's playing out that we should be talking about Sarasota in spring training. And we're not, and we don't, really don't care that we're not. And nobody, is anybody in your dealership like dying that they don't have their season tickets and can't go to opening day on the 31st?
Nobody at my dealership, nobody in my tiny circle of friends. And I think the word I used a week or two ago and probably before this has been apathy. Everybody's very apathetic towards the Orioles. And that's a real problem, not just for the team, but also for the league. They're not playing, Ness. They're not going to play, and nobody cares. No one cares. We're watching lacrosse. We're watching college basketball. We're talking about the NFL. We're talking about world events. We're talking about a war in Europe that affects us, right? So there's so many things for us to talk about. Baseball, that is, in terms of consideration, that is very, very low on everybody's radar these days, and it should be. It should be a distraction. It should be something. We should be talking about pitchers and catchers reporting, right? We should be talking about opening day, but we're not.
There's
we're
nothing about it that's fun. Playing. And it's been so long since it's been fun, right? I mean, yeah, go back to Delman Young or whatever, you know, when that was fun, and it was fun for 5 minutes. It wasn't fun for a lifetime, you know. It certainly had no, you know, it slipped through our fingers, whatever that was, that good time that was Buck Showalter and Manny Machado. Yes. And those. Nobody's built a statue for any of those guys here.
Yeah, that was the long nest, going to the stadium and watching it all in orange, and the playoff runs that we had, great five-year stretch under Buck. That was a lot of fun going downtown. That seemed like it was 2 decades ago at this point, just a distance.
You and I get a bus trip, we'll take you up to a Mets game. Oh, they're not playing either. Oh, sorry. Dennis Colatzos is here. Hey, I bet Gary Williams putting the band back together. You have any emotions on that? Because this weekend was weird, right? And most people still think of me as a sports guy, right? But the Blast didn't call me about the reunion. You know, I called their games on the radio for 8 years. I covered them for 25 years. I didn't even know it was happening until Greg Zapaniak was on my timeline. By the way, he's stopping down at Mama's on the Half Shell on Friday when I put the Maryland Crab Cake Tour together. And, I saw Kenny Cooper was in town. So the Blast was Saturday. Then I wake up Sunday, and Maryland's doing a thing, reunion, and there's nobody there. Now, the Blast thing looked really well attended in Towson on Saturday night. But the Terps thing to me, you know, I have great emotion with that, right? I mean, I really – that you talk about things that used to mean a lot to me and things that were important in my life where I'm flying down to Atlanta. I used to fly around. I saw the Terps get eliminated in Knoxville. I saw them get eliminated in Oakland, California. I saw them get eliminated in – I mean, just all sorts of weird places. I flew all over the place watching them play. Steve Francis, all of those – Gary all pissed off after the game, yelling at the media. I was always there with a little notebook or a microphone. The 0-2 team, 20 years later, the emotion, if you're a Maryland fan, about Byron Mouton diving around on the floor and Juan Dixon and seeing Steve Blake, that was nice. I wish I would have gone. That was something on a Sunday you and I could have jumped in the car, gone down there, made a meal out of it, had brunch, made a day of it, that I feel like I missed out. I should have gone to College Park on Sunday. I'm embarrassed about
that. You know what? I was actually there Friday night to watch the Lady Terps take on Indiana. So I got an invite from a friend, and we had some friends there at the game, and we got there and we had a lot of fun.
It was great to be. Good.
It was a great venue. It was not a big crowd, but a festive crowd. And the game went down to 3 points, a 3-point victory by the Lady Terps. But it's a lot of fun watching the girls. Like, girls basketball to me, it moves faster than the men. It's just as exciting. And that's what I'm talking about now. When things like baseball go by the wayside, those voids get filled by other things, things that we never thought we would participate in. And it was a lot of fun going there. I just like being at College Park. It was a great venue.
Well, I haven't been down there like VU and Santa Fe and, you know, all the places down there that I used to go before and after the games. I was in L.A. At a beautiful party on Wednesday night of Super Bowl week. I was in Beverly Hills. I'm up on the fourth floor at this event, and it was an event. Kevin Durant was there. Michael Vick was there. You know, it was like a fundraising. I don't know if it's crypto, NFT, whatever, but it was like an event. And I was there. There was a lot of Terps people there. I got invited through a Terp connection. And Eric Winston was there, Players Association guy. So it was just, but most people I didn't know. It was 100 people was out on a deck. It was lovely, very unique. And I wound up in a conversation with this exceedingly tall, beautiful woman. And she was introduced to me as somebody that might have been from Maryland. It turns out it was Marissa Coleman, who was like the number two overall pick in the NBA, WNBA. She played in New York, Liberty, played for the Mystics, Terp. She a Terp. And I had just had the greatest conversation with her, the dude she was with, another athlete from Maryland, about the difference between Baltimore and Northern Virginia and the DMV and Maryland and College Park and perceptions and realities about basketball and the women's game and the men. So I'm having her on the show next week. How about that? She wanted to come on. So I'm going to have Shea Terp on next week.
Look, I'm looking forward to the conversation. Lady Terps have been very successful under Coach Freeze for a long, long time now. They're competitive, they're feisty, and a lot of their players do make their way to the WNBA.
You know what I like about the lady basketball players and the guys who don't make it, you know what I mean? And I could put a bunch of different people in this category because they're some of my favorite people to talk to. Brian Rousum has been a friend of mine for 25 years. He's coaching ball over in the Philippines and over in Jakarta. Wow. He's been all over the world. He's played in Turkey. She played in Istanbul. She played in France. So she's played in these places, the internet, people that go to Greece and play basketball. You go to Greece for vacation, you know, right?
They're heroes. They really are. I did a thing about a year ago on, I keep forgetting, and the bald-headed guy went there and they mugged him off the plane. They're kissing him on his cheek. He's fighting. I'm like, why are you kissing me? He wasn't used to men kissing him. And they had explained to him that this is, you know, that's how they show affection. They don't shake hands. They kiss you on his cheek. So he's after, you know, fist fighting with the men, but they idolize players overseas, basketball players in every country.
She played 3 years in Turkey. You know, she played for a team called Mersin. Women's basketball team, you know, and they play in a 7,000 seat arena, you know, like I'm Googling this stuff and I'm like, how do these leagues work over there? You know, now we have the international thing with Russia and soccer and World Cup and their activities that has made them the pariah of all pariahs. I don't think there's any doubt this is going to affect things going on in Europe and sports all summer long, World Cup. I mean, you know, to my point, we go back to, and these baseball people aren't playing. Why? We're in a free country. We're here. They can make money. That's the part that sickens me about the baseball, but you know what we're going to do? We're going to pay attention to football off season. We're going to watch hockey. Yeah. We're going to watch basketball. If you like NASCAR, you getting your fishing pole out. What are you doing?
Fishing pole out and I'm ready to roll, man. I'm ready to travel and fish great places, new places for sure. As vacuums get filled and a lot of stuff going on besides professional baseball. It's inexcusable, Ness, that they've come to this point. There really is no excuse as to why they're not playing today.
All right. So look, I'm doing the Crab Cake Tour in August and it's not even March yet as we record this. Okay. So it's still February. I'm going to get a 6 month run in me that you're going to go fish with me in August. We're going to fish together because I'm going all over the state. I'm having crab cakes. It doesn't need to be fly fishing. Okay. This is wide open that you and I should fish someplace and then get a crab cake somewhere. I don't know what that means. It could be anywhere. Okay.
Okay.
You don't need to drive to Western Maryland and get waders on. I don't need to drag you to Chris Field out onto a big rig or anything. We can keep it near the dealership so it can be a morning thing or whatever. But I think you and I need to fish on the Crab Cake Tour. It's important to me.
I agree with you. We'll make it happen this year for sure.
Absolutely. I got you on tape.
Lots of water,
I got
lots
your tape.
Of water, lots of waterways in Maryland, lots of local waterways, lots of great ponds and lakes that we can drop a line in.
All right. It gives you 6 months to think about it.
Okay. We'll
pick a day in the middle of the week where, now that I did the tour last year, this year I'm doing things a little differently and I'm staying on top of it a little different. So I'm getting out in front. And the things that didn't happen last year, like you going fishing, I'm getting on the front of it this year. All right.
Well, in March, Nestor, I have a date with the great Ken Penrod on the Susquehanna going after smallmouth bass. I do have a trip planned already.
I see an Instagram, Twitter photo going up of you holding something beautiful up toward the camera. How about
I expect to catch 100 bass that day, no less.
Just 100?
Just 100. I got to hit triple digits. Ken's a good man, so looking forward to it.
That's going to be good. Dennis Colatos is here on Thursday. D. Colatos showed a way to follow him out on Twitter and the Dennis Colatos Show. Heard from 3 of the 5 on Thursday, and then again, of course, on Sunday mornings to get you ready for your Sunday brunch. Speaking of brunches, I'm having crab cakes everywhere. Mama's on the Half Shell this Friday. We are at El Guapo. I'm wearing the shirt. Hey, Dennis, El Guapo, Catonsville on the 10th. Next Thursday, we're going to be there in the afternoon. Come on by. It's close to Coons Ford Security Boulevard. The 18th, we're at Costas in Dundalk on a Friday, and then on the 23rd, Wednesday morning, we are at Fadley's in the Lexington Market, where Dennis spent his childhood with his family down, right? Exactly.
100%. Mount Olympus, baby.
I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking. Baltimore, positive.